Today we are going to look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, picking up where we left off last time. Proverbs 19, beginning at verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. We'll pause there in our reading. Last week we dealt with the previous verses, ending with verse 19. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, he will have to do it again. And verse 20 follows logically from that. The way to avoid punishment or the way to avoid incurring wrath is to listen to counsel and to receive instruction. To hear, to listen, means to heed or to obey, to understand, to seek to improve constantly. It's a process. And we're admonished to do that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. Hebrews 13, verses 7 to 17. 7 and 17. Verse 7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And again in verse 17, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." The counsel that we are bidden to listen to is the counsel given by those that God has appointed as our teachers, as our instructors. And the word for counsel means admonition and advice. Psalm 16 and verse 7, we hear the voice of Messiah. Psalm 16, verse 7. "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons." This was spoken by Messiah in prophecy. It is the language of all those that love him and that follow him. We too can say that there have been times where the Lord has spoken to us, either while we were asleep in a dream, or maybe while we were praying, the Lord would dart in a word of counsel to us over a matter that was troubling us and perplexing us. And we too can say, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons." We have all experienced dreams and thoughts that come to us in the night. And it is the Lord who's speaking to us and who is instructing us in a matter which perplexed us. And the language of God's people is, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Listen to counsel, says our proverb, and receive instruction. To receive is to accept. In chapter 22 of Proverbs, verse 17, incline your ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge, that I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you? Incline your ear, says verse 17, and hear the words of the wise. The words of the wise primarily are the words that God has given to us through his servants, the prophets and the apostles. But you can widen the scope of that admonition to include the thoughts and the writings of men upon whom God has bestowed wisdom and insight. And we can learn from them too, from the wisdom that God has given to them. We can benefit from good books where the writers were men and women of God. One hymn that means a lot was written by a Christian lady. I think it was Fanny Crosby. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? And this is the language of every happy believer, that as we listen to the counsel that God has given others and take encouragement from them, so we receive instruction. Instruction includes doctrine, correction, and reproof. In the second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Messiah Yeshua. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is included in this precept: listen to counsel and receive instruction. And the outcome of it is that you may be wise in your latter days. You'll achieve wisdom. It is something that is the outcome of a process. And there's a hint of a warning also, that you may be wise in your latter days, before it is too late. We ought to take our opportunity to learn from the wisdom that God has imparted to his many servants. Verse 21, there are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel, that will stand. And that again has logical connection with verse 20, speaking of counsel. the Lord's counsel, that will stand. There are many plans, many schemes, many resolutions that people have. Solomon, the wise king, tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29. Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. There are many schemes, many plans in a man's heart. There's no shortage of them. Isaiah writes in his 53rd chapter, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It is our wisdom as God's children to submit all our thoughts and our plans to the Lord and to ask for his guidance. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Those devices have their origin in the secret recesses of the heart. But however deeply laid the plans may be, for all that, God has his way. And as Shaul wrote to the Corinthians, we can do nothing for the truth but for the truth. What he meant was, man may lay his plans, but in the end God will have his way, and his will be accomplished. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. First of all, verse 7. Verse 5. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation, and against the people of my wrath I will give him charge to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Yet he does not mean so, nor does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off not a few nations. This was a prophecy in the days of Isaiah the prophet, where God said he was sending the Assyrian army against his people for their ungodliness and for their hypocrisy. But the big stick that God waves is a stick that he puts in the hand of the Assyrian army. But even so, the Lord says, even though he is my instrument, he becomes arrogant and ascribes all his success to himself alone. And so the Lord says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 25. Well, let me read from verse 24. Isaiah 10, verse 24. Therefore thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease, as will my anger in their destruction. After I've used the Assyrians armies to chastise my people, it will be their turn to be punished, and I will wreak my vengeance on the arrogance of the Assyrian army. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel, that will stand. God will have his way. His way will succeed, even though it looks as though man is triumphant, his plans will come to nothing. And in fact, they will promote the purposes of God. Messiah is called in Scripture Wonderful Counselor. His ways are past finding out, and he is the source from all godly counsel, so that we may safely trust in him. Let me give you a couple of examples of how the purposes of God succeeded in spite of man's schemes and plans. We go back to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, "Before your father died, he commanded saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also came and also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones.' And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them." Their plan was to get rid of Joseph, but their plan actually resulted in his promotion to second in command to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he was in a position to rescue the very ones that plotted his death. We have a spiritual Joseph in our Lord Yeshua. In Acts chapter 2, Peter is speaking to his contrite countrymen. Acts chapter 2, Peter is speaking to his fellow countrymen on the day of Pentecost, beginning at verse 22. "Men of Israel, hear these words." That's Acts chapter 2, verse 22. "Yeshua of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Their purpose was to do away with Jesus of Nazareth, but it only resulted in him being affirmed as the Savior of the world, so that you and I may safely entrust our plans to the Lord. And it's always a good idea to lay before the Lord our plans for the day and to ask him for his guidance. He is able to do it by checking us, by prompting us, by something said or done by somebody else. We make experience of his guidance and his counsel. There is a verse in the scripture that says, let's turn to it, in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was puzzled by the events of his day. In Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out to you violence and you will not save? He was perplexed by the promotion, by the success of the ungodly. And God's reply was, chapter 2, verse 12, Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We're living in perplexing times, but without fail, God has the last word against the ungodly. Let's go on to verse 22. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The charm of a man is his kindness, and by kindness is meant benevolence, mercy, and goodwill. What is desired in a man is kindness. What made that poor widow commendable in the sight of God? In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44, Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now Yeshua sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. That's what made her more commendable to God than all the crowds of rich people who threw in their contributions. The historians tell us that the treasury had metal containers shaped like a funnel that made a very satisfying clanging noise when anybody threw in their coins. And of course, the rich would shovel it in, and everybody would say, What a generous man that is. And as the Lord Yeshua said in another context, Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But the Lord Yeshua said, Those two mites which make up a farthing made a louder sound in God's ear than all the clanging of the coins of those vessels in the treasury. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The person that was unable to help, but free from false promises and free from ostentation. Verse 23, The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. That's a very comforting verse for you and for me. The fear of the Lord is the reverence of God, the honor due to him, that we honor him and walk circumspectly before him. Psalm 34, verses 11 to 14. enlarge upon that theme. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Those verses enlarge on what is meant by the fear of the Lord. And this fear of the Lord tends to life. Psalm 19, verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The fear of the Lord, coming back to our proverb, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Precious promises are bestowed on those who honor God, who follow the advice, the godly counsel given by David and other prophets. He who has it, he who has the fear of the Lord, will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. He will abide in satisfaction. Timothy was exhorted by Shaul to continue in the things which he had learned, and in doing so, he would save himself and all those who hear him. He who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. He will be exempted from calamity and from destruction. We'll pause there in our reading for today. I'd like to just say a few things about verse 23, he will not be visited with evil. The Lord Yeshua taught his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And one recipe for escaping from evil is to walk in the fear of the Lord all the days of our life. Proverbs 28, verse 14. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. God promises that he will bring us through our troubles as we fear him. There's a blessing pronounced in Psalm 128. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. God's exceeding great and precious promises are available for those who love him and who fear him and who walk in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And my prayer is that it may be your portion, the portion of everyone here, that God's blessing may rest upon you and yours, especially in these troubled times. Shall we close with a word of prayer? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your tender instructions in your holy word. We pray that you'd unite our hearts to fear your name. And Lord, we pray for those who are troubled at this time, who are afraid of what troubles may yet come upon them. May they make full proof of thy promise that you will exempt them from calamity and from destruction. We pray for these mercies, giving you thanks in the name of our Lord Yeshua. Amen.